is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The President of the United States referring to MAGA Republicans. The President of the United States referring to semi-fascism in America. I welcome Daniel Henniger, the deputy editor of the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, writing his Wonderland column before the president's remarks, before the Independence Hall in Philadelphia, before. And in those instances, MAGA Republicans and semi-fascism were a puzzle. What is to be done? Why is the president speaking in this fashion of his political adversaries? Dan, a very good evening to you. Before the speech, we were trying to imagine where this was going, using the word semi-fascism for MAGA Republicans. What's the best you can remember, Dan, before the speech, about what the president means by MAGA Republicans? How so? Good evening to you.
Hi there, John. Well, yeah, this is President Biden has been using this phrase, MAGA Republicans, now for several weeks, really. It's become an obsession with them. He keeps returning to it. And last week at a Democratic rally, he really went deep into the MAGA well, likening it to semi-fascism. And when I wrote my column, I raised a question, does Joe Biden actually know what MAGA stands for? He keeps repeating it as this kind of sinister sounding word, MAGA. Well, it stands for Make America Great Again. That's Trump's political logo. How sinister is that? But he has built it into this kind of evilly empire notion that he keeps returning to. And when he elevated it last week to semi-fascism, itself a strange phrase, semi-fascism, he's going to hedge himself a little bit on going all the way with fascism. I said, well, you know, we've just got to sort of address this and try to figure out what the president is trying to say. And it seemed to me that it was political. And it was a political rally. That was the thing about raising this issue before the speech he gave last night. It was a political rally, and he's trying to set up the Donald J. Trump monolith again as this phenomenon that is supposed to, I guess, frighten suburban voters. I mean, they're the ones who essentially turned against Trump in the 2020 election, and now he's creating Trump again as this horrible, evil force that threatens, as he calls it, our democracy. It's political. Yes, Trump has been in the news for the last 4 weeks because of the FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago, which I guess we're supposed to believe was just a coincidence as the president's giving these highly politicized speeches. It's difficult to see voters out there thinking anything other than that the president is engaging in a level of politicalization with words like semi-fascism and trying to equate most Republicans with the MAGA Republicans, which is just an extraordinary distortion of political reality at the moment. But in Joe Biden's mind, I guess somehow it all makes sense.
The explicit effort, writes CBS News following the speech in Philadelphia, the explicit effort by Biden to marginalize Trump and his adherents marks a sharp turn for the president, who preached his desire to bring about national unity in his inaugural address. That's a good memory, Dan. Joe Biden was not known as an intemperate speaker the many decades he spent in the Senate, and his election in 2020 and inauguration in 2021 with an inaugural speech was the choice of the majority of Americans who wanted to return to comity in some fashion. That was not the case when he used the word semi-fascism last week. And now we come to the speech in Philadelphia. That was not a man seeking national unity, Dan. Is it more electioneering? Is that how we should hear it?
Yeah, it is more electioneering. It's meant to drive Democratic turnout. I think this White House, these Democrats believe that in the midterm elections, they have to animate younger voters who typically, say, college age voters, typically don't vote much in midterm elections. And to some extent, I think they're trying to piggyback or leverage some of the boost that they got from the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade. I mean, there's been some evidence in recent elections here and there that that the abortion decision has produced some turnout among increased turnout among women and younger voters. And I think Biden and some of the people around him have decided that they're going to exploit that by going after the MAGA Republicans and sort of getting these base voters of theirs worked up over Donald Trump as they were during the Trump presidency. The big question, John, is whether it will animate independent voters, older independent voters, by older I would say over the age of 35, who live mostly in the suburbs and for whom MAGA Republicans is probably pretty much a mystery for most of those people, just what Biden is talking about. But this is the road he has taken. And the striking thing about it, John, is that Biden returns to it with such extraordinary passion, as he did in Independence Hall Thursday night, that one gets the impression that at least the president himself actually believes this stuff, much of which, incidentally, is false. It's utterly false. The idea that the Republicans believe that they want to suppress people's votes. You know, Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia, Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona, both took a lot of risks with their own careers by opposing Trump's explanation of that election. And as to January 6th, which President Biden keeps returning to and asking, why won't Republicans denounce January 6th? What can he possibly mean? Most of the people working in the White House around Trump that day, conservatives and Republicans, were trying to get the president to criticize or shut down what was going on in the Capitol. They were actively criticizing it as it was happening. So the president, Biden, somehow has just gotten himself so obsessively caught up in this notion that he has in his head that he just can't think straight about it. And, you know, in the wake of that speech in Philadelphia, you're sort of picking up some signals that people in his own party and maybe in the press, like the CBS piece you just read, are beginning to think that this president has somehow begun to go off the rails with the MAGA Republican obsession.
I note that it's early hours after the speech and there's more clarity, but according to the report I have from the Daily Mail, the president made remarks within these hours, Dan, Friday, the day after the speech. And the one remark that stands out, I haven't watched it on video, I don't have the whole speech: I don't consider any Trump supporter a threat to the country. Well, that's a good qualification, because that was implicit in the remarks they made at Independence Hall. So perhaps the president and his counselors are registering what you just said, Dan. The speech went too far, and it was inarticulate about the president's passions.
Well, sure. And, you know, when he's talking about he's not equating it with all Trump voters, I mean, we did have a presidential election in 2020. It was closely run, but more than 60 million people voted for Donald J. Trump. That's basically half, you know, the electorate in the United States.
Right.
And a lot of those people, you know, I guess we can say we know a lot of the people who voted for Donald Trump. And I can't think of a single one who is listening to Joe Biden's speech would say, that's me, that, you know, that I am a MAGA Republican, or I am a threat to the democracy of this country, or I'm a threat to the rule of law in the United States. So it has apparently struck somebody in the White House that the president and they have overstepped themselves by tarring 50% of the country in a single speech.
Daniel Henniger, deputy editor, editorial page, The Wall Street Journal. I'm John Batchelor.